Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
They began to take inventory and say,
okay, this is what was going on in, you know, the previous year in 2012, and this is what I would like to happen, and this is how I go about making it happen. And those are the most challenging things. People say you have New Year's resolutions, you make promises to yourself, and promises you're going to lose weight, promises you're going to exercise every day, promises you're going to stay in touch with loved ones more, promises you'll be better in school, promises you're going to be doing better on your job. There's all kinds of promises that we make toward the end of the year, going into the first of the year. But in order for you to, in order for us to really kind of not just give lip service, we have to be able to understand the things that we can change, the things that we can't change, and then have a plan in action, a plan of action that is going to be successful for us. A lot of people, sometimes people go through and they make a plan of action, and the plan of action is too strict. Well, the plan of action is unattainable. And so what we have to do is we have to really get into a point where we are trying to make some reasonable changes with a reasonable plan. And knowing the difference between those is sometimes challenging, because we want change. We want, you know, things to be different. We start off good, but then some kind of way we fall off because our plan is not sustainable. Our goal might be real, but it might not be sustainable or attainable by the things that we do. And so what we have to do is we have to look at these things from the realistic standpoint. And once you look at it from a realistic standpoint, and you put these things in place, then you can begin to start making progress toward those goals. But as you start making progress toward those goals, you have to continue to reiterate or reintroduce those things that will help you be successful. Because, you know, a lot of times we're successful for a little while, but there needs to be some adjustment, readjustments for us to sustain our success. And so that's what we're talking about tonight, is recognizing the things that we want to change, recognizing the things that we can't change, and recognizing how we can go about making the change that is necessary and putting the steps in place for attainable goals, you know, going into the new year. And, you know, some people can look back over the beginning of 2012 and see, you know, the first couple of weeks I was, you know, not smoking or not eating this or no carbs or low fat, and, you know, constantly calling my loved ones. But by the time, the end of February or Valentine's Day, I had fallen off the wagon, and I'm no longer keeping those goals. And sometimes those things are frustrating. Sometimes those things you really, really want to do them, but for some reason you can't do them. So we're going to explore that tonight. If you want to be a part of the conversation, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569 at 347-324-5569. And we're talking about our goals and how to recognize the ones you can achieve, the ones you can't achieve, and how to do something about it, and how not to do something about it. One of the things that you have to do is you have to really recognize yourself, and, you know, just be truthful with yourself of what, you know, your expectations can be. And you know, we know ourselves, and we know the different things that we go through on a regular basis. And one of the biggest things that I found that will hinder us from, you know, accomplishing our goals is not understanding time. Not understanding time. And when we don't understand time, then what happens is we don't have a reality of how we can succeed with the goal. What I mean by this, if you don't understand time, you can have a goal, but there's not enough time to do it, you'll never be able to accomplish it. Give you a for instance. If you know that the best time for you to do exercise or you to make phone calls or you to cook is at 7 o'clock in the morning. Okay, you exercise or cook or make phone calls. 7 o'clock in the morning is the best time for you to do it. But if you had to be at your place of employment by 8 o'clock, you have to leave your house at 7 o'clock. Then you're cooking, then you're exercising, and then you're making phone calls are going to be limited to the time that you're commuting. And so if you have to commute and drive yourself, then you're not going to exercise, you're not going to be able to cook, and you're going to have to be driving and talking, making the phone calls that you want to make. And so one of the biggest hindrances to goals and recognizing what you can and cannot do is time. It's time. And time is critical to everything we do. Everything we do is time is critical to it. And so what we have to do is we have to recognize that the first thing I need to do when I come up with a goal that I want to achieve is I have to look at the time frame. I have to look at the way my schedule's set up, the place that I'm going to fit this change into, and is it a time frame that's going to work? Not only is it going to work, but it's going to work over a period of time. You know, over that period of time, will I be able to have a readjustment or a plan B if that time frame doesn't work out for us? And so if we start with the time management in our goal setting, then I think that's the proper route, that's the proper foundation for us. Because there's nothing more frustrating than say, okay, I do this best at this time, but at this time I can't do it. And so what happens is, you know, you start off already setting yourself up for the fall. And so what I want us to do is to look at, you know, how we'll best set ourselves up to be successful and then providing ourselves with the tools necessary for us to be successful. And when you begin to start doing those things, then what happens is your goals will begin to get realized, you know, slowly but surely. And, you know, it's all because you took the time out, or we took the time out to consider, you know, how time plays a role in us achieving anything. For instance, if you're going to start a carpool or be a part of a carpool, you're going to start being a little more greener and beginning to start carpooling to work. If you know that you have child care and you have to have your child at the daycare provider at a certain time, or by 8 o'clock or by 7:30, and your carpool is at 7:45, then you know that you're not going to be able to make that carpool, because by the time you get there at 7:30, drop the kids off or your child off, and then get back to the place where the carpool gets. Sorry about that. We got disconnected some kind of way. But what we were talking about was managing time, and how managing time actually will help us achieve our goals. And when we were talking about, if you're going to start carpooling, if you're going to start being part of a carpool, what you have to do is you have to take into consideration everything that you have to do before it's time for you to get to the place where the people are carpooled. And without that time management, what will happen is you're setting yourself up for failure. And so time management is a tool that is necessary to help us to be successful and reach our goals. And so starting off 2013, you know, we want to start looking at time management and start looking at the times where we look, where we feel like we can do what we need to do in order to achieve our goals. And, you know, when you really start digging into these things, you know, you have to do it realistically. Sometimes we think we can get up at, you know, if we already get up at 5, we think, well, I can get up at 4, you know, I'll get up at 4 and I'll start writing letters, or I'll start emailing, or I'll start cooking, or I'll start exercising, or I'll start, you know, doing this type of thing. But in reality, you know as well as everybody else that getting up an hour earlier is going to be something that's not sustainable for you, because you know you're already dragging when you get up at 5. And so if you're dragging when you get up at 5, there's no way in the world you're going to manage to be able to get up at 4. And so the reality of that goal of exercising before it's time for you to work by getting up an hour early is really not an attainable goal. And what you'll end up doing is be like a week maybe, or a couple of days maybe. And then you'll start feeling it like, man, ain't no way in the world I can't do it. And you'll stop one day, and one day will start 2 days, and 2 days will start 3 days. And then the next thing you know, you're not getting up at 4 o'clock anymore to try to do exercise. Now you're frustrated, and now you basically missed out on that goal because you didn't give yourself the tool that was necessary for you to be successful, and that was time management, because you knew that 4 o'clock time frame wasn't going to work for you. I hope somebody's tracking with me today. That time frame is not going to work for you, and so because that time frame is not going to work for you, you have to look around in your schedule and see if there's something that you can reschedule, or is there something that you can eliminate, or is there something that you can do later on. And if there is, what you have to do is you have to pick that time frame, and that's how we're going to start with increments of an hour, whether it's 15 minutes, whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's 45 minutes, whether it's an hour. And so, in particular, when it comes down to exercise, sometimes in exercise, tell people to look for a 15-minute span twice a day where you can do some form of exercise and just take 15 minutes. If you do that twice a day, that gives you a half hour during your day that you're doing some type of exercise. And stay at that 15-minute increment until you get to the routine where you handle it. And, you know, it might seem like baby steps. My neighbor, she sees me all the time. Well, you start off real slow with baby steps. And I said, yeah, because I don't want to start off too big and then not be able to sustain it. And so what I was sharing with her is that if you start off with 15 minutes and you can do practically anything in 15 minutes, and then put that into a schedule that you can do, then what will happen is you'll get used to doing that thing for 15 minutes, and it'll become a part of your life, become a part of your lifestyle, and it will be an attainable goal that you can reach. But it has to start becoming a part of your lifestyle. You have to have something that you fit in or made a part of your lifestyle. So in other words, this 15 minutes, this time of morning, has now become something that I do. And I always compare it to, you know, dental hygiene. If you know that your dentist has instructed you that you need to floss your teeth, and tedious as it is to floss your teeth, but if he tells you you're going to have periodontal disease, and you have to get deep scale type of thing. And he says the way to prevent that is to use an anti-tartar toothpaste and to floss every day and to brush twice a day. And so what you do, because you've gone through, you know, the deep scaling and the problems with your teeth, is that you put flossing and brushing into your daily routine. And so it becomes something you do in the morning and something you do in the evening or the afternoon. And you just do it because it's now a part of your life. It's something where you know the importance of it. And so because you know the importance of it, you make it a part of your life. It's a goal that you can set to brush the floss. The floss once and the brush twice a day. And then when you go to the dental office, that you will have a better report every time you go back. But incorporating those types of things in that type of way, dealing with time frames, is the way we achieve our goals. And we know what we can change, and we know what we can't change. And so, again, you can get up and pick those teeth and flossing, extra 5 minutes, and then in the afternoon or at bedtime, extra 5 minutes, and you make that adjustment. And so whatever your goal is, we need to handle it in a similar manner. Is to know that this is important. It's important enough for me to make it a part of my lifestyle and look at my time management and say, okay, it's important to me. I want to make it a part of my lifestyle. And so these are the time frames and 15-minute increments that I'm going to put into my lifestyle. And this is what I'm going to do on a regular basis. This 15 minutes is in my life now is going to be for this. And this 15 minutes in the afternoon or evening or whatever is going to be for this. And once you begin to start seeing the result or understanding how you've been successful, how you've continued at it, again, like the dental floss and the brushing of the teeth. And once it's a part of your routine, then you don't even think about it. You just do it. You know, when you get up in the morning, you're brushing your floss. When you get ready to go to bed, you're going to brush when you're going to go to bed. Sort of like, you know, putting your contacts in the morning. You know, it's important to be able to see. I believe it's important to be able to see. And so what you do is in the morning, you make time to prep and to put your contacts. And then in the evening, you make time to prep and take your contacts out. But those are the things we know that's important is that we've made arrangements in our schedule to be able to do contacts. I guess you do it in 5 minutes. You put them in 5 minutes, take them out in 5 minutes, put them in little cases or wherever you use. My wife and my son use them. Takes about 5 minutes. And so when you're in your morning routine, you know, you got to take a shower. You make time to take a shower or a bath or whatever you do. You make time to brush, floss your teeth. You make time to put your contacts in. You make time to get dressed. And you make time to get to the bus or to the carpool or whatever. But it's all about time. It's all about timing. In order for us to achieve our new resolutions, our goals, and then to recognize what we can and what we cannot do, is we have to see how we manage time. And too many times, that's kind of cliche if I didn't even be, but too many times, we don't manage time correctly. We don't manage time correctly. And what happens is, because we don't manage it correctly, we come up short, we come up short in attaining our goals. And so herein is the key to being successful is managing time. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but we're going to take a quick break. Give me some water here or something. And we'll be back in about 2 minutes. If you want to call in, you can call in 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. We'll be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Management things that we do like clockwork, regardless, and it has to become that. And so the exercise has to become clockwork. And so what we have to do is we have to look at our busy schedule. Lord have mercy. We have to look at our time frame. And we're going to look at it in a 15-minute increment and say, here is a place that I can put this exercise for 15 minutes and make it part of my day. And have it to be so common that it's like brushing my teeth. Then before I go out and greet the public, I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to comb my hair. I'm going to wash my face. And it's commonplace. And so I need to get up enough to brush my teeth, wash my face, whatever. And when you look at it that way, you say, okay, I do make time for that. You know? I do make time for this. Why would I make time for my exercise? Why would I make time to call somebody? Why want to make time to do, you know, whatever I need to do with my bills or study or whatever? And, you know, it's a lot of times a thing of procrastination, but, you know, with the brushing of the teeth, with the combing of the hair, with the taking a bath, we realize how important it is because we don't want to become offensive to people, you know, with our breath or with our hygiene. And so we know that's important. And so we take times out because we'll begin to start smelling. On exercise, on the other hand, United States, over 50% of the people in the country are obese or overweight. And, you know, it's kind of acceptable. Whereas having bad breath and bad hygiene is something that's frowned upon in most establishments. Excuse me, I'm marking the commercial. And so we have to get to the point where do we think that exercise is important? And if it's important, it's something we really want to do, you know, starting the new year, then we have to, it has to become a part of our daily routine. We say, oh my gosh, Pastor Steve, you're talking about I got to exercise every day? And then say, yeah, you know, start off with 15 minutes. And find where you can put that 15 minutes, where you can fit it in. And one of the things I tell people is that in the evening, when you get home, in the evening, there's a time where you do something every day. And most of the time, it takes up at least 45 minutes out. And one of the major things is that you watch the news. Amen. Or you listen to the news. Or you cook dinner. Or you lay down. One of those things you're doing. You're cooking dinner, watching the news, or you're laying down. And so what I would say is during watching the TV, cooking dinner, or the laying down, is that you would put 15 minutes. You say, Lord, that's what you're telling me. Put 15 minutes while you're cooking that dinner and into doing some short series or short set program. What do you mean by that? If you're standing at the stove stirring the pot, you can do lunges, or you can do leg raises, or you can do arm raises, and do short sets of four or short sets of five, and switch from one arm to the next arm to the other arm. And so if you do each arm for 5 minutes, and then just alternate with the leg for another 10 minutes, then you have your 15 minutes. Well, that's 20 minutes. Then you have your 20 minutes. And if it's too much for the arms, cut it back to 2.5 minutes. And then you would have your 15 minutes exercise while you're actually cooking your dinner. And if you do that over a period of every day, look how much it adds up. And what happens is it becomes an attainable goal. It becomes a goal that we can reach. And what happens is because now you're doing something that you weren't doing every day, what happens is your physical body will begin to start responding because, hey, every day I'm doing 15, 20 minutes of this exercise, and now I have to use this energy, which helps me to become leaner or thinner, and strengthens my heart and my core and my whole body. It's good for me. It's important that I feel good. It's important that I look good. Because they say if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, then you perform well. Everybody wants to perform well or whatever it is they're doing. But if you take it that 15 minutes of time and you keep doing that every day, that body's going to say, hey, I got to come up and I got to respect this. I got to burn this energy. I got to utilize this, because every day they're going to put this 15 minutes into play. And it's something that I put into my routine, because I'm multitasking by putting something on the stove, putting something in the oven, and I'm in the kitchen. And, that's the area I'm going to visit every day. And if I can just do some squats or some lunges or some overhead reaches for 15 minutes, then that's going to increase my metabolism. When my metabolism is increased, what happens is I can burn energy even when I'm not exercising. So that 15 minutes actually will carry over into the rest of our day. Amen. So that 15 minutes can actually, give you 2 hours later of still burning more than what you were doing if you were just sedentary, sitting down, watching television, watching the pots boil or whatever. That, 15 minutes, jump starts the metabolism, and so the metabolism runs hotter, for the majority of the next couple of hours. And depending on what we've done to elevate our heart rate, it can last even further. But the thing is, we've made that 15 minutes in the kitchen a part of our routine. It's something we do then. It's like brushing your teeth. I brush my teeth in the morning. I floss my teeth in the morning. I take my shower in the morning. I shave in the morning. I know these things are important. It's accepted in society. And so now what's accepted in society is health and wellness. And so now, during my dinner preparation time, that if it takes me, a certain time to cut something up, I still can do my back leg kicks. I still can do my shoulder, my arm rotation. I can do all those things while prepping and preparing, cooking my dinner. And so now my dinner's cooked and my 15 minutes of exercise has been put into place. Now my metabolism is going higher than what it was. Now I'm getting stronger because of resistance training or whatever that I'm doing. And I did it all in 15 minutes because it was a goal that I knew I could reach if I managed my time correctly. And because I managed my time correctly, now this is a part of my routine. And, basically we should be able to break down this type of thing for everything that we want to do. Everything we want to do, we should be able to break it down and make these things attainable and make changes in our lives. And it will change for the better. And if we do it, just do it in 15-minute increments. 15-minute increments. People go, what about smoking, Pastor C? What about smoking? Smoking is one of those things where it's sort of like craving. Craving is like, if you can ride out the craving, you can get through it. If you had a craving for, chocolate donuts, I've had those before. But if you get a craving for a chocolate donut, but you have to realize that the way the human body is, it will crave. But after a while, if it sees that you're not, eating it, those chocolate donuts, it'll go away. And so when it comes to smoking, what I tell people is, a lot of times people love that little boost, a little kick, a little fix after they've eaten a meal. They're not smokers. And so after the meal, there's that craving to get this dopamine going that sends a sense of well-being when you partake of the nicotine, and it triggers. And some of you trigger it right now because I'm talking about it. Oh my goodness! But it triggers it. So after the meal, the brain is saying, "Okay, we're eating a meal. You know, let's take the time. And I know time is time management. Let's take the time. Make sure we have enough cigarettes, enough nicotine, enough materials to light the cigarette. A place where we go and smoke it. We plan all that out, and then to smoke that cigarette and to get that nicotine, which creates that dopamine effect to the brain. This is a sense of pleasure, sensory, and you know, all of that was planned out. And so what I tell people is, after you eat, when you have that urge, you can wait 15 minutes. That'd be some cranky folks. But if you can wait 15 minutes and see if you can get through that particular time or not, so. And what'll happen is you'll probably start off with 2 minutes. But if you keep working at it, you'll start off with 2 minutes, you get 3 minutes, you get 5 minutes. And then eventually you'll be able to get to that 15 minutes. And then if you have to have that cigarette at 15 minutes, then begin to start counting down how long you're going to smoke it, how long you're going to allow yourself to inhale, and start cutting off the time that you're actually going to smoke. So it's all time management. What that will do is begin to start shaping your life as far as your cigarettes, as far as your exercise. It begin to start shaping your life as far as if you want to stay in touch with somebody more, your relative, by making those commitments, 15-minute increments. If I want to stay in touch with my mom or my dad or my uncle, that a certain time when I get home, before the 5 o'clock news, there's a 15-minute time frame that I'm going to, make these calls. And the calls are going to be 2 or 3 minutes, but I'm going to make them, and that's going to be a part of my routine that, on Wednesdays or Fridays, at 5 o'clock, and I'm going to make these phone calls within this 15-minute window. And you begin to start making it a part of your life. And so a lot of times we try to start doing too many things, like an hour at a time, 2 hours at a time, half a day at a time. We don't stay with it. But if we can do it in short bursts, short periods of time, we'll actually stick with it. We'll actually stay. It's manageable. Our brains will actually begin to start becoming accustomed to it. And then it will start becoming, routine for us. And if those things of not smoking, those things of exercising, those things of calling people become second nature, a routine where you don't have to put a lot of effort to do it, you don't have to put a lot of energy to do it, it's just something you do. And what happens is then you begin to start experiencing wellness in your life. You begin to start experiencing self-control. You begin to start experiencing things of self-accomplishment. You begin to start feeling a sense of purpose because there's some semblance of control in your life, and that you are giving yourself the tools necessary to be successful in the goals that you've chosen for your life. And that's a powerful thing. When you have been empowered, when you have been given tools necessary, when you have taken it and implemented it into your life, and now you have purpose, you have planning, you have achieved something, and that does wonders for your wellness. It does wonders for your sense of self-esteem, your ego, all of those things are stroked because you took that plan, you took that goal, you made reasonable and attainable efforts and had the best tools that you could afford to help it to become reality, and you do it, that takes you off the chart. It takes you to another level. But in order to get to that other level of time management, you have to really understand that I can start off real good, but if I stop managing my time correctly, I will fall off that wagon in a second and, you know, be starting from square one, or even sometimes maybe not even get back into where I need to be because of the frustration it has. And again, a lot of people get with that with food, a lot of people get there with, you know, contacting loved ones, you know, with different types of crafts or hobbies or studies or things, because we try to consume too much too quick and too much of a quick time. But if we would slow it down, make those 15 or so minutes a part of our lives, we would be better off. You know, just start, even start with a run. You say, oh, I'm going to start running. Just start off with a 12-minute run. Start with a 12-minute run. Don't start off with running 4 or 5 miles. You're probably going to fall down, get tired, it hurts, and you know you won't be coming back the next day. So you start off with 12 minutes. I'm going to start off with 12 minutes. We used to do that when we were contact football camp during the summer. You have just a 12-minute run. You just run around the field for 12 minutes. Some people ran faster than others. But the fact was that whether you were the slowest or the fastest, you still ran for 12 minutes. It was still conditioning. And, you know, at the end of the camp, what happened is those that were slower became faster. Those that were faster, they picked up time also, because their bodies became acclimated because it became a part of the routine. And so the first thing we would do is when we get, you know, everyone out in the camp was to, you know, do some stretching, get something to drink, some water. And then everybody, you know, before we had showers, before we had breakfast or anything, everybody would do a 12-minute run. Just 12 minutes. Right in the video. And you'd be amazed of the stamina that you built up just by doing that 12 minutes. You know, I used to install lighting ballast during the energy efficiency times where governments were giving back, federal government and local governments were giving back tax refunds for retrofitting lighting. We would go around at night, you know, 8 to 10 or from 6 to 10, and we would put ballast in lighting fixtures. And so the first night, you know, I was terrible. I could only do 20 because I didn't know how to set it up. I didn't know the time frame or what I should be doing. And you know, God showed me, okay, this is what you do. This is how you place all your ballasts, all your bulbs. This is where your wire nuts are. This is where you put your trash. And he taught me how to manage my time by strategically placing the equipment, the trash, stuff we were going to recycle, placing it in strategic areas. And so by the second week, I had doubled my profit because I knew how to manage the time correctly, because I knew how to work in a mode or operate in a mode that was more efficient. And you know, I could set a goal every night now that I knew I could reach from doing $40 a night, because I knew if I managed my time correctly, I could hit that 40 every night. And it was great because I knew exactly what I was doing, knew what my goal was, and I had a simple sense of accomplishment. I can go home and I can tell my wife. Sometimes she wasn't working, she had kids, and you know, needed extra income, so I was working, you know, those extra 4 hours, you know, doing that. And, you know, I could tell her, okay, based upon, you know, this goal of doing 40 a night, this is, you know, how many dollars we're going to be making per, you know, fixture or piece work. And this is what we can expect every week. And so now she understood. Now she, you know, helped with budgeting and everything for the household, because it was a goal that was set. It was attainable, and then we can rely on that because of the time frame that I knew that if I set it up in a certain way, that I could do those things. And you know, a lot of times that's what it takes. That's what it takes. But we have to be willing to get involved. Get down to the brass tacks of where am I going to put this in and where is this going to make a difference. And I'm going to do it for 15 minutes. There's not going to be any excuse because I'm taking just a little bit of time, but I'm going to take that little time and be consistent, and it's going to be something that I do over and over again, and it becomes a part of me. And that's how people become. People become, like I said, with installing light fixtures, people become with sports, you know, routine, lifting weights, running, tennis, soccer, you know, accounting, teaching, business, any type of thing. It comes with setting goals, learning those goals, putting, you know, time management, you know, priority, learning how to do this. And then you see that success in your life, and you have those moments where you know what your purpose is, you know what you're doing, and you're actually flowing in what you should be flowing in, and it creates that sense of wellness. And it can happen in anything. So people that want to get fit, they take up fitness. They don't take it up as dieting. They don't take it up as something I'm going to do until I lose this pound or this pound. But it's something that I'm going to do on a regular basis because I know in the long run it's going to be better for me. It's important for me. And that's the way we have to do it. And we just don't want to set ourselves up for the new year. And I know many of us have done it over and over and over and over again. But we need to back up off of those things, of these lofty goals that we know we're not going to attain, we're not going to stick with. But stop making some inroads on things. Start using that 12, 15-minute thing while you're cooking, while you're cleaning, while you're watching TV or whatever, and make it a part of your life. Just as common as eating, just as common as brushing your teeth, flossing your teeth, just as common as going to work, carpooling, or whatever. It has to become that commonplace in order for it to stick, in order for you and I to continue or be successful. And you know, that's what we wanted to talk about tonight. We want to encourage people to find out what's realistic, what's going to work, what's not going to work as far as goals. Start taking, you know, inventory of your time. If you know you're not going to do something early in the morning or late in the afternoon, you know, find some way to squeeze it in, whether it's calling people, whether it's a, you know, exercise, whether it's cooking, whatever it is. But begin to start finding a way to fit it in, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's drinking, whatever, you know, dealing with the cravings, dealing with all these things. Learn how to take it about 15 minutes time. I guarantee your physical body will begin to start responding, because sometimes it takes a minute for it to catch up, but once it catch up, it's good. Once you tell that body after you eat that dinner, you know, 15 minutes, I don't want a cigarette. After 15 minutes, that strong urge will begin to subside a little bit. And then as the more and more that you do it, then you can start breaking away from those types of habits. But you have to find out what works for you and stick with it in small chunks. Don't take the big chunk, because you'll get tired of the big chunks. If you take the small chunk, you'll be more successful. And you know, that's what we want you to do, because when you're successful like that, you'll feel great. You'll feel motivated. You'll feel have a sense of accomplishment. You want to tell somebody. You want to keep up the good word. You want to say, hey, this is what I'm doing. This works for me. I was able to do this by, you know, just taking it just a little piece at a time. And when you do that, watch your esteem soar. Watch your attitude get so much better, because you've done something. You've accomplished something. You've gotten through something, and it was because you set goals that were attainable, and you did the time management for them to become a part of you. And it's just an awesome thing. It's just an awesome thing. And that's what we're encouraging people tonight, is to take inventory before we go into 2013. Look at the realistic goals, what you can, what you can't change, what you can, what you can't do, and see, you know, if you can, you know, make progress on one of those two things. If you make progress on one or two things, oh my gosh, it's just a building block, and you can really, really, you know, work at it. I was proud of my daughter this year. She graduated from high school. She got into college, and she was able to finish her first year of college with a 3.5 or 3.0, whatever. Not first year, but her first semester, grade average. And she was able to get a driver's license this year. And, you know, she just kept building on, you know, those successes. And a lot of them, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy getting out of high school, getting into college, getting a job, working and going to school and applying herself and getting her driver's license and all those things that challenge her, but she's experienced a sense of wellness, a sense of accomplishment because of all the time that she put in to be successful and to keep with it. And, you know, that's what we have to do. That's what we have to learn to do. We have to learn how to say, okay, I know this is the time frame. This is what I'm going to stick with. I'm not going to take too many classes. I'm not going to work too many hours because I know that's going to conflict with, you know, my school. You know, I'm going to do this to graduate. I'm going to do this to get my license. You know, I'm going to study a little bit here, study a little bit here, learn this section, go to the next section. And that's the way she did. So she had a lot of great accomplishments in the year 2012. We're proud of her. We love her very much. It's Mrs. Yannis. And she just followed those basic things. And, you know, even for students preparing for the SAT, you know, follow those basic things, the ACT. Take sections at a time. Learn, you know, the essay part, learn the math part, learn the formulas, how to plug stuff in, you know, how to read the essay, and how to, you know, write out the answers. And when you begin to start taking just a section at a time, what happens is when it comes time for that, it's a part of you. And so you're not struggling trying to remember, but it's a part of you. But you have to do the time management to prepare for the SAT, to prepare for the ACT, to prepare for, you know, what you got going on in school and on your job. So that's where we are tonight. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for your continued support. Again, it's always a blessing to us to be able to try to give you the resources that you need to get connected, to be successful. And we pray that you have a wonderful continued holiday. Continue to help each other, love each other. Continue to be kind one to another. Continue to find those areas in your life that you want as a goal, and take those 15 minutes to perfect that craft or to perfect that thing that you want to do in your life, and stay with it and watch the progress and watch you get to the goal that you want to be at or the place you want to be at, and watch the experience of wellness, enjoyment, fulfillment, purpose that you'll begin to experience. Watch it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And we're excited for you to experience it. So go back and listen to this broadcast again. You can reach it at www.blogtalkradio.com/FranciusAid. Scroll down to the on-demand section for today's date and listen to this motivational talk that we had tonight, and prayerfully you'll pick something up from it and you'll begin to soar, begin to experience wellness in your life. All right, that's going to do it for tonight. We're going to go spend some time with our family, and we're going to enjoy the rest of our weekend. And that's going to do it for tonight. Prayerfully we'll see you and talk to you on Sunday night. God bless, and we'll talk to you later.